Welcome to the JK Sports Podcast. I'm Juan.
And I'm Kyle.
And welcome, everyone, to 2024, first pod of the year. This is year three?
No, dude. Five? I think it's like year six.
Year six?
I'll look it up, but I don't know.
Yes.
It's been a long
time. It'll be 6 years in September.
Yeah.
We started in 2018.
That's right. Hard to believe.
Football season in 2018.
That's a lot of football seasons.
Memories. Nah. Who are we? So, speaking of college football, we just ended the college football season. The Michigan Wolverines, I think I picked them.
Did you?
To win. I definitely picked them in my pool. So, won the college football playoffs. Nick Saban retired today, which is crazy.
It's a lot crazy there.
And the Gators, there's a lot going on with Gator football right now.
Yeah, we got a lot of moving parts right now.
As well. They did not make a bowl, and who knows if their coach, Billy Napier, could go to Alabama.
He's on the list.
He's on the odds.
Vegas list. I don't totally understand why. Obviously, somebody thinks he could be a fit there, but sure, why not?
Well, you would think, I know with Nick Saban, if something this big, that guy, there's got to be some calculations on, hey, I'm leaving, this is how I want to do it, and this is who the replacement should be.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be like the stuff. Coach K at Duke thing, right? Where they basically, you know, they said, all right, John Shire's your replacement. It's the same thing. I mean, I would assume both he and the school had somebody lined up, whether it's internal or I would assume it's got to be to hire external, right?
I would hope so, right? Negatively, you would hope that it's not health related.
Correct.
But assuming it's not that, I think there's already somebody in place or that's been picked. Who is it? I have no idea, Kyle. I have no idea who this could be.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, there's obviously, you know, you can look at the Vegas odds. You can see who all's out there. A lot of names are being thrown around. I mean, I think what I've heard, I mean, we just found this out, right? Like, what, 2 hours ago?
5 o'clock, yeah.
Dan Lanning seems to be the favorite, the Oregon coach. My personal opinion is you need to bring in somebody who has been around the block. Like Dan Lanning, he's our age. And I think you need somebody who's either won a national championship, who's coached in the pros, to come in after Saban, the greatest football coach. And you could just say football coach, not even college coach, but football coach of all time. At a school like Alabama, like you need somebody who is a little rough around the edges. It's a little calloused. That's seen some things. You bring in a young guy who hasn't really had that experience, they will eat him alive.
You don't think somebody like Dabo?
So, I do think it needs to be somebody like Dabo. I don't know if... Do you think Dabo would be the guy, though?
So,
in today's college football atmosphere, do we think Dabo's the guy?
He doesn't have a lot of, you know, I said positive goodwill. He had a black eye the other day at a basketball game.
There? His wife punch him?
Who knows? A couple years ago when he was winning national championships, beating Saban, you could say he was the guy, right?
Like different times, though.
Different times before NIL.
That's right.
Before NIL, but he was...
The portal wasn't the same.
He was obviously, there's going to be ties because he played at Alabama.
Sure.
He was wide receiver coach
there.
So it does seem easy. I don't know. Is it true? I haven't studied enough of Dabo and all that. It just seems that he doesn't like NIL and he doesn't like transfers. Is that his thing?
Yeah, I feel like somebody in that mindset... And that we've, you know, kind of... dogged on Napier for the same type of thing. That mindset and that skill set that won those national championships years ago. I say years ago, it wasn't that long ago, but again, a different time in college football. That's not going to win today. He could go there. I don't think he's going to be successful much longer in today's world. What about Mike Vrabel?
Yeah, this Vrabel, I feel like Vrabel should go to the Patriots, though.
Well, I agree. I mean, if you can stay in the NFL, obviously you do that. But, man, for Alabama, if you throw a ton of money at him, that's the type of guy I think you would need. Somebody who's just a hard dude that has that pro experience, that doesn't care what people are going to think. Now, I can't imagine the 24/7 recruiting and making boosters happy and raising NIL dollars and blah, blah, blah. Like, oof.
So Nick Saban had recently said that he thought, you know, in previous years, college would be the easier job compared to the NFL. And he says recent with all this NIL and the transfer portal, early recruiting, early signing day, that it's probably flip-flop now where NFL is a little bit of an easier job than college. Now, that's all relative, right? Like, all these guys work 15-plus hours.
Sure.
Or whatever it is. But he did make a solid point. He goes, think of December for guys, right? So you have the college football season. You play in December. He goes, we lead the SEC championship game. Then, from that point on, you are on the road for 2 weeks straight recruiting.
Right.
Right? Like, there's that. And after those 2 weeks are on, you get a class in place. And then you, which, by the way, at the same time, the portal opens up. So you're trying to sign a new class and keep your current players and get newer players. Do that. Then you have bowl practices for like 2 weeks.
Yep.
And then you go and start that. And then you have, after the bowl game or whatever you do, you've got about 1 month, January, and then there's another signing day in February.
Right.
The portal opens up again for all the bowl teams.
You're obviously recruiting before the signing day.
And then February starts, and you're, February, March is basically when spring football starts.
Correct, yeah.
With all that. So it's a grind. Now, do I feel bad like coaches are getting $70 million like Jimbo for all this stuff? No, right. But you get it.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. I mean, you'd have to pay me a lot of money to live that lifestyle. And I mean, they do get paid a lot of money now, but I don't know, man. It is a grind. You got to love it. That needs to be your passion, obviously, to do it. But with that being said, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know who the next guy, I don't know who the right fit is. It's so fresh. It's so new. But I don't think like a young up-and-coming coach would do well at Alabama. I think the expectations, it's unrealistic expectations that have been set by the greatest coach ever. To follow that up is going to be impossible because you're not going to be as successful as he was. There's no way. And as soon as you're not, the fans, the media, the players, everybody's going to start bailing on you.
It'll be funny watching. Like, most Alabama, he's been there, what, 17 years?
Sounds right.
Close to it, to a little bit before 2009. However many years, some of these kids have never seen anything but this version of Alabama.
Correct.
Right? Like, some of their
16 years in a row, he's won at least 10 games. 16 years in a row. So he's recruiting kids, think about that.
Yeah.
That literally, as long as they can remember, it's Alabama winning 10 games every single year.
Can you imagine? Or their fans, right?
Yeah.
So can you imagine their fans when they go 6-6 next year?
Which is if very they realistic. Do. I mean, they've already lost one recruit. I'm sure people will transfer. You know, I guess depending on the coach, you know, that can either save people or bring some more people in. I mean, you know, I think they're going to be fine. I don't see them winning six games, but it can happen quickly.
Do you think it's Lane Kiffin?
Let me ask you this. If you're Lane, do you take the job? Flip the question. If you are Lane Kiffin, do you take that job?
So besides the cons of what you said, following a legend and all that stuff, the pros are he knows Alabama. He's already been there, so he knows the fan base, knows the administration, and knows the system that Kiffin ran.
That Saban ran.
So he knows how they operate for that way, know what he wants. I mean, clearly, he's a Saban, however much. I mean, he calls himself a Saban prodigy. Right, he just wants, he does things his own way, a little bit different.
Sure.
So if you want some continuity of what things are happening, the roster is loaded and stuff. I think to myself, if I'm Lane, I got a good chance here to win. Definitely in Alabama with what's already there. With the NIL and the boosters, I have a fan base and administration that's committed to winning.
Let's play devil's advocate for a second, because if you're already in the SEC, right, you now have a legend that's leaving. So doesn't that make it easier to win the SEC? So if you are an established coach with a good contract in place, you're getting paid good money at a good program, does it actually make more sense for you to leave and go to a place like Alabama to follow Nick Saban? Now, the second coach, the guy who followed Saban,
yeah,
that's a totally different story. But right now, why would you not take advantage of his absence, have some success with Alabama not being at the top of their game, and wait for a better scenario? I think it'd be really, really difficult for, now, especially as an SEC coach, but even any coach in a top tier program, leaving to follow Saban would, I think that'd be a difficult call. I mean, Alabama's like the mecca of college football. I get that, but that's got its really big downsides. And when you get fired from a job, you know, there's not many coaches who go, like, there's not many coaches like Lane Kiffin who continue to somehow just get better jobs after being fired. When you get fired, it's very difficult to get back to where you were previously.
I think the Alabama, yes, which you could argue that's why it makes even more sense if I'm Lane to go now, because you have a bunch of five stars that have committed there for the last couple of years and you have good high school talent, right? So if he leaves, he just got really good portal classes. He's going to be able to take his people with him as well and get good and get a lot of people from the portal. He's got some excitement. He just won for the first time 11 games at Ole Miss. Again, the administration there is going to be 100% behind him.
If I'm an Alabama fan, I think Lane would be a phenomenal hire.
Yeah.
To go back to that side of it, if you are an admin, a fan, a player, Lane would be a great hire. I do agree with that. I just don't know if I'm Lane Kiffin if I take that jump now.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you want a championship, now's your best chance with that team.
Is it, though?
In a couple years? Absolutely. They have better players than Ole Miss. They've recruited better, more stars than Ole Miss over the last five years.
You're assuming they all stay, though.
Most of them, if Lane Kiffin comes, they will.
Yeah, if they stayed, yeah. But I think that's where it gets so goofy in today's environment, because you take the job. I mean, these players have 30 days to decide if it, like, 30 days is a long time. You could get hired 2 weeks later, you've got half of your team gone. You know, and now you're scrambling to get transfers. Like, it's a tough situation. I mean, it's definitely a leap of faith. Now, granted, $80 to $100 million probably helps make that leap a little easier. But, you know, I guess I would think long and hard about it. I don't think it's like some automatic, like, heck yes, I'm doing this. I think you got to consider the scenario you're in and what that'll look like if, you know, they bring in, what's his name from Oregon?
Dan Lanning.
Lanning. You know, and you say if you got to bet on yourself too and say, all right, well, I don't care who they keep on their team, like we've got an edge now. You know, you beat Alabama a couple more years, they get rid of Lanning. Well, now it's a much more desirable.
The officially longest tenured SEC football coach. Who do you think is that?
Longest head coach?
Right now, so now that Saban's gone.
Now that Saban's gone? Is it Kirby?
Mark Stoops.
Oh, yeah.
He's been there since 2013.
Yeah.
Kirby's been there since... Now, if you're Kirby, do you go to Alabama?
No. 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 I don't... No way.
He's an alumni. Why? He's an alumni from Georgia. He's already got all this stuff.
No, no. I don't... If you're Kirby... Do you ever leave? I mean, I think you treat it like Saban. You just kind of stay as long as they... I mean, as long as you, you know, sustain this level of success.
Yeah. Isn't it awesome, though, that Saban beat Kirby the last time?
Yeah.
And then he retired?
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you play... It's like when you play your dad in basketball. Right. And then he's like... He beat you and he's like, hey, I'm not playing anymore. Sorry. Like, right. You can't play me again.
Right. Yep. He'll always go out on top.
He'll always go on top. All right, so speaking of NIL, and I want to talk about the Gators a little bit, about NIL recruiting, where we are as a program right now. We've talked about how the recruiting was starting to slip, especially with some of those games and not being in a bowl game with that. Signing day happened. A lot of different people left. They fell outside the top five, outside the top 10. With the class. So and we fired coaches, taking a long time for replacements to happen. There has been some changes since all that stuff. Where is Kyle right now on Gator football? How are we feeling? What changes need to make? What are you looking for? Just give me an overall.
As of right now, if the football season started today, I would say we need to expect more of the exact same. You know, I do think we have at this point, Napier's entire existence at UF will be contingent upon Lagway's success.
Okay.
5-star quarterback, Gatorade Player of the Year.
Yep.
A quarterback in college can totally change an entire team, an organization, you know, whatever. I mean, you look at like Vince Young, right?
Yep.
What he did for Texas. I think anytime you have a powerhouse quarterback,
Tommy Turbo,
great example, right? We've got plenty of those, and we can just Joe Burrow at LSU, bunch of recent examples. So yes, he could save the team and save Napier's job. If that's not the case, I mean, what do we have? Like, what evidence do we have at this point that anything's going to be different? That is the only thing that is changing. You know, our biggest thing that we've talked about was from a kind of an admin, quote unquote, side.
Yeah.
Hire a special teams coordinator, you know, bring on an OC to help out. None of that's happened.
Yeah.
Like, he's changed some position coaches. Cool. I mean, that happens every year in all major programs anyway, due to, you know, attrition, promotions, you know, what, like, that stuff doesn't move the needle. So I don't know. Your recruiting class has fallen apart. As far as I'm aware, it's not like they've got a bunch of great transfers. I mean, sure, they might fill some holes, but it's not like some superstar. What are we expecting here? Nothing different, right?
You got a brutal schedule next year. I still think you can win 8 games. And we've talked about all of that. I still think there's a lot of problems. It's not just one thing, but the coaching and the actual winning games needs to happen to buy Napier more time. Although a lot of the moves that he's making, you know, he's hired like basically a GM of college football, a GM, you know, guy from A&M, and he's hired the defensive coordinator from Auburn is going to be on staff now, which, take that as you will, a mentor to a 30-year-old DC, or you could say it's going to be his replacement if the 30-year-old DC doesn't work out.
Right.
In a sense, but those things have, regardless, I feel like with DJ Lagway, I still think because Scott Strickland is tied to him, he's going to give him another year afterwards to see, to let DJ start or something, in 25.
So let's say they win 7 games next year.
It just depends, right? It all depends on the manner, the way, many different things. You can't just look at a number.
I don't disagree with that.
Because of that. But I do think Scott Strickland's going to be conservative because his job is on the line as well. And everything I'm reading about it, right, their whole strategy was, and Scott Strickland has been saying publicly now, is we need to get out of this 15-year funk,
right,
of every 2 to 3 years firing coach. We need stability, right? Like, UF has been SEC championship games, then 4-8. 10 wins, 5 wins, right? Like,
right.
So I guess Napier was brought in to bring and sold them a vision that, hey, let me do it this way, which his way is, I'm going to recruit through high school. Those are the proven players. I'm going to change a lot of things, and it's going to take some time. But at the end of this, it will result in stability that will help have a team or a culture that can, you know, not go 4-8. Right. Which stinks, because it's basically saying, hey, if we're already winning 5 games, we're only winning 5 games, that means our ceiling next year is 8.
Right.
Right. So we're just going to stay for 5-8, but hey, we're not going to have 12 and then go to 4.
Right.
I don't know. Right. But you do need to show some progress, because you won't be able to get top high school recruits if you don't show something on the floor when you're in year 4.
There's no
sense of urgency when you're 3 and 4.
Right. There's no urgency with anything. Like with wins in during the game, hiring coaches. Like, I understand. I'm cool with building it from the ground up. But you have the tools now in college football to make it to a bowl game quickly, right? I don't think anybody expected him to come in and go to Atlanta the first 2 years. I'll give him that, right? But to not make a bowl game, and now you're still not doing anything different. Like, I respect that we're going to build it and we're going to do it right and make this sustainable. Totally get that. But as a fan, like, I'm okay. We've had 2 years. Like, do something different.
It's what stinks is his margin is so little. And, like, he easily could have fixed these things, right? Like, man, there's just some bonehead plays, right? Win Missouri and the last thing, right? Slide out of bounds. Go, you know, win the FSU. Just win one game, right? Maybe Scott Strickland, don't schedule Utah when you have a brand new coach when they're in their peak, right? And play. Granted, we beat them the year before. We lost to them this year, right? But imagine if Utah was another cupcake game. That's another guaranteed bowl game. You know how much more you have to sell to recruits in that, right? I'm not making excuses, but those are all just such little tweaks that he didn't help, you know, administration didn't help, but also Napier didn't help himself, right, with his screw-ups on the field, right? So it's just like the sum of all parts is screwing up. My question to you is, we've had some talks before that on NIL and the administration and whether we think UF is really serious about football and NIL and how that was. What do you think, you know, understanding and reading some of the info we've had, where are you with UF and NIL?
Well, I think it's been a total mismanagement. I think most other schools, I don't want to say necessarily have it figured out, but have performed much more successfully than UF from an NIL standpoint. I mean, we showed it last year with the quarterback situation, total mess. The administration, they've shown at UF, all they care about is being a top five, top three public university in the country. That doesn't have anything to do with football, which is fine. But, you know, I think football makes the school quite a bit of money too, right?
Yeah.
Again, it's just a, like any business in America, things change constantly and they change quickly. And you have to stay up on that. It just seems like they kind of ignored it. It's the same thing with the facilities. You know, we talked about the facilities arm race. UF was, I mean, 20 years behind most universities in that. It seems like, and that cost them. Yep. It eventually cost them. Now they're finally starting to get caught up. But that was all of their funds, all of their fundraising went towards that. But it was 20 years too late.
Yep.
So instead of it going to NIL, it was going to facilities, which they needed, you have to have, but it's too late. So now the same thing's happening with NIL. Eventually that's going to shift in how that, I mean, it's a total wild, wild west right now. I mean, that will change. There will be changes there. So I feel like we're always one step behind when it comes to that. And, you know, our success came with Urban. Again, we go back, you had the best football player in the country on your team playing quarterback, and you had the best coach in the country. And, like, we're not even close to that right now. So you have to have something special to win if you're behind the eight ball in all those other scenarios. I don't think it's a priority. Or if it is, they have the wrong people running it. And I'm a believer in Strickland is the wrong person running it right now. Again, we talk about all the time. He came in to raise money. He did that. He's not an AD in today's world with the NIL, I don't believe.
Yeah, I've learned a lot about this NIL, and, you know, you probably know all of this, but I'm just going to say it out loud, right? So it's interesting how NIL, you know, the university cannot pay players at all, right? NIL has to be done through a collective, and that is separate. You know, it's you and I, it's you and I could come up, you know, and say, hey, this is our collective,
right?
And that stuff. However, what the administration can do and what other successful schools have done is said, hey, donors, take your money that you're giving us, and maybe you are using it for a stadium renovation or this stuff. Why don't you take some of that and donate to our collective that will also help the fans? Right. And whether or not the university has helped direct them to that or just said, well, we give them a flyer all that time. Right. Like, could you fly out all your top donors and be like, listen here, you guys want to win. These players want $1 million. The top players want $1 million. When again, it's a fixed amount. Right. So, like, unless there's a bunch of money, like, hey, we've got $10 million for this recruiting class or these kids, right? The top players are going to get this, and then it just has to divvy up to everything else. And unless you grow that pot, like, some kids are going to say, I'm worth more, I'm worth this, fine, see you later.
Right.
Right? So if we want to compete with that, you know, some good stats that one of the boosters actually from Victoria says. He says, Florida is probably top 10, but not top 5. He says, the best NILs right now are Oregon, Texas, Texas A&M, and Auburn, right? So you got oil money in Texas A&M. Right. Oregon, you got Nike. And Auburn, you have Yellowwood money and you're just desperate to catch Alabama, so you're right. going to do whatever it takes. Does Florida have a lot of money in boosters and very rich alumni? Yes, they do. The problem is they are like Gatorade, right? They don't give any of that to NIL.
Nope.
Right? All of it goes to the university, right? The I think it's NVIDIA CEO donates a bunch, right? There's so many alumni that are very wealthy, but they're not donating specifically to NIL.
Right.
So that's where we need to get those big donors, because the small donors, it's a numbers game, and I don't know if we're going to get there. I mean, we need some really, really big numbers to get that, right? Some ideas that I've seen float out in there, I mean, look at Ole Miss. They are all their bars and restaurants in town, they have a, would you like to round up? And it goes to NIL.
Which is brilliant.
What? Brilliant. Why not? Something that one of the guys was, one of the boosters was recommending is, why not add 25 cents to all the concessions at the Gator Sports?
Right.
Or football games, anything of that, right? You got a hot dog and chips, $10. Yeah, it's expensive, but $10.25. That way, it's not a you have a choice, right? It's just already included in the price, and you know those 25 cents.
The NIL tax.
The NIL tax, and I mean, if you think about, they were doing the math. If you think about it, over the course of the season, right? There's 7-8 home games, right? You get 90,000 people, probably get 500,000 people that go to games.
Right.
Right. They go to get concessions, all this stuff. 25 cents for each one, you can get some big numbers.
Well, and to me, that makes more sense anyway, because that's how the intent of the NIL is for name, image, likeness, for you right. actually performing on the field. So if you do a quote-unquote NIL tax in the stadium, those are people in the stands, butts in the seats, there to see you perform. So, yes, that makes sense to me.
But it's just those small things. I'm like, just do something in NIL. Show me that you care about winning and all in on the organization from top to bottom, right? Like, I get the football. We get the wins. There's a lot that we need to fix there. But there's a lot also administratively that we could do and just get creative to get more money and pay these players until the NCAA does some kind of regulation or whatever they have to do. But until then, we're going to have to pay.
Yeah. Well, and it, again, it's going to change. The universities are going to gain control of this. But it's just, we're just always behind. I mean, I will say that that's one thing I will say in Napier's defense is I'm sure it makes it extremely difficult to recruit and retain players, both from high school and in the portal, if your NIL is a total mess. Yeah. And they could go, you know, to the next school down the road and have something lined up as soon as they walk on campus. So I will say that I can wrap my mind around, but I mean, there's still a lot of other issues.
Apparently, $600,000 is not even enough to get a top 50 player.
Which is crazy to me.
I mean, Trevor Etienne went to, or Travis, whatever, Trevor went to Georgia. Mm-hmm. He was getting paid $30,000 a month. He got offered from Georgia $30,000 a month, which UF was going to match. It's a lot of money. $30,000 a month?
Yeah, as a college kid?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's not that UF isn't doing these things. We've landed great players, and I know that's because of some money and whatever it is. But I'm just saying, we don't want to be good. We want to be great. So go be great at NIL. Go be the best school that has the best NIL set up.
Right.
From the, in Napier's quote, success is a dirty business.
Yeah.
You gotta go get some of that.
That's right.
So it's been really interesting understanding the NIL. You know, Kyle, we just got to start donating to Florida Victorious. All our fans.
I guess. listen, let's increase some sponsorships for the podcast, and then we can just turn around and flip it to the NIL.
I like the 25 cents thing. I'm all aboard.
I dig it.
Maybe even any other restaurants and all that stuff. Shoot, we could bring it here to Ocala.
Why not? Give them the option. Yeah.
Yeah, give them the option, or just do the NIL tax in the stadiums. In all concessions, all like baseball, because share it with the baseball teams, all of those.
Right.
Right? Like any sporting event in UF, there's going to be a 25 cent NIL tax. Make it 50. I don't care. Whatever it is, but there's going to be a tax while you're there watching them.
Well, and that incentivizes the school. It incentivizes the players, the fans, yeah, to get people to the game, knowing that that will directly impact the NIL money. Yeah.
I mean, if I'm going to pay $10 for a hot dog, and you're telling me I can pay $10.25 to watch the eat a hot dog and watch a good team, that's better than the $10 watching a horrible team.
You're already losing eating a hot dog watching a bad team.
If I'm paying $10 for a hot dog, I'm already losing.
Right.
Right. And then if I'm watching a crappy team that wins 5 games, I'm losing again.
Yeah.
10.25? Oh, sold. Give me 11. If it's for a good...
Give me 2 hot wieners.
Give me 2 of them, and I will... You know what? I'll be there loud and proud.
That's right. I love it.
Right? If that gets us 10 to... If that gets us 12 wins, oh, man. We're bringing the family to all the games.
And all they can eat is hot dogs.
All you can eat hot dogs. All the time. If he guaranteed 12 wins, oh, yeah.
I'm in.
In the playoffs?
I'm in. We solved it.
Yeah.
All right.
Shoot, I'll start going to baseball games, and we just go that way. Now, would you share, granted, because not NIL sports are equal.
Right.
Right, not all sports are equal. Would you just do a big pot to, like, you know.
No.
You're going to baseball games. You go to a baseball game. Would that, the money you spend in concessions at a baseball game get thrown into the football?
No.
All these other ones, no, and then divvied out?
Individual. No, that's again, that goes back to NIL. Like, you get paid what you earn. You get paid what you are worth. And so, no, you keep it totally separate. Baseball's baseball. Basketball's basketball. And, I mean, listen, if a... I think about... What was the one volleyball game? Was it Nebraska? Who had like 80,000 people?
Was it at Yankees? Or they were in a football.
It was in their football stadium.
Yeah.
Like, so you do it then? Yeah, they get paid for that. If you can fill a stadium for volleyball, absolutely, it's worth it. Like, the amount of attention that garnered, I mean, you do it. If there's stupid sports that nobody goes to, you don't make any money.
Yeah, I guess it would force the administration and others to get pretty... creative.
Yeah.
Right. On, hey, let's schedule this, or.
Right. You could pay for meet and greets, or I don't know. I mean, you can put.
They're already doing that. That's part of the Florida Notorious.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do. I don't think UF's doing them, and they certainly aren't on the forefront of doing them.
All right. Fair enough. I think we solved it. Everybody. Go donate to Florida Victorious. Get the NIL. We need to start winning. Win the lotto and then give a couple mil to Florida Victorious. How about that? That's an easy compromise. Buy a Powerball and then take at least 5 mil and give it to UF Florida Victorious NIL. I think that would help a lot.
Seems fair.
Seems fair. All right, Kyle. And the new Alabama coach is? We don't know yet.
We don't know yet. And, man, I really want to know who it's going to be.
This is, like, the best, like, could you imagine if he came out on the internet and, like, tweeted something? Like, how crazy it would be?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They have to have somebody lined up, right? I mean, this couldn't have caught them by surprise. Like, Saban wouldn't do that to Bama, right?
That's what... If it's not a health thing, Yes, I completely agree with you. The only way it would be caught off guard if it was a health issue.
Yeah, that for sure, for sure. I mean, yeah, that is a scenario, I guess. But I feel like that would have to be reported at some point, right?
Yeah, I did hear he had an interesting point. He was on Pat McAfee. Saban, they're asking him, you know, what do you tell recruits when people are negative recruiting you about, like, hey, Saban's not going to be here longer, or like, you know, do you, coach, are you going to be here, you know, during the, for the, when I finish my career or any of this stuff? And Saban goes, well, I just asked him, are you going to be here for as long as I finish my career? He goes, with the NIL and transfer, it's like, are you going to stay around for 3 years or 2 years?
Right.
In this program?
Yeah.
And I go, that's actually a pretty good,
yeah,
pretty good answer for them. I don't think a lot of coaches could say that to other players, but
he's the best, man.
He's earned something. So we had a little fill of college football talk there. We got, you know, it's college basketball season. The Gator basketball teams are doing somewhat well. What do you think about Gator basketball right now? My thoughts right now.
Yeah.
Is it's a fun team to watch. I do feel it's a good team that can make the tournament. We need to start winning some games. I'm tired of saying it's a good team and that we're in January now, we're in SEC play. Beginning of the year, it's, man, that was a great game. We lost by a couple points. This team's going to be fun to watch, right? Oh, we lost to Baylor here. Oh, man, that's a good team. That'll be a good resume. I know we can compete. But now the Kentucky game, I get it was the number 6 team in the nation. Had so many chances, should have won that game. At this point, no more. This is a fun team, and we can almost win those games. We need to turn those into wins and start getting ready for the tournament.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think they're going to make the tournament. I don't think I hope not. There's any chance of them not making it. I think they're good enough. They should be. You know, I could see them getting to 20 wins is what I'm getting at in the regular season, which will be enough to get them in the tournament. Long, athletic team. They play fast. They shoot well. They're fun. They are
not
awful
at
free throws. That's what's killed them.
But they shoot 200 a day.
I don't care. You could say whatever. Like, whatever they're doing isn't working. So they need to do something different. So I don't care what they say.
Yeah, I practice my putting, and I'll still 3-putt or 4-putt every now and then.
Correct.
Right? Obviously, it's not working.
Right. You know, they just need to do something different, whatever it is, because they are currently 326 in the nation in free throw percentage or something like
that. I didn't know there was that many college basketball teams. That's like, it's got to be like FCS, but regardless.
Well, whatever it is. I mean, it's over 300 in the entire nation, the worst. So, I mean, you improve by, God, I don't know, 5% when you're a 65% free throw shooting team and you win multiple games. Man, it's just things, it's like little details like that that just drive you crazy with UF sports right now, I guess. But no, I think they're fine. I think I saw something the other day. Todd Golden only has one win since being at Florida.
Wow.
If I'm not mistaken. I think that's what you were alluding to earlier, that he needs the big win. And Kentucky would have been a great one. That would have been, he has plenty of chances between Tennessee. They play Ole Miss tonight. You know, they'll play Auburn.
Will Lane Kiffin be at the Ole Miss game tonight? If he's not at the game tonight, is there some Alabama smoke there?
Man, that's a really good question. If he's not at the basketball game, there's got to be some reports that he's in Tuscaloosa, right? Or at least meeting with Alabama officials.
Yeah.
Didn't think about that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. I think they're going to make the tournament. I don't think they're going to, like, you know, make a bunch of noise. I think...
They can get to the Sweet 16?
I think they can. Yeah, I do. I think it's a team, the style of play, I think they can. If they can score in the paint consistently, they can do some damage. I think when they don't score in the paint is when we just, that's when we lose it. God, what are you going to do about free throws, man?
It's got to be mental. I mean, what do you do in putting, right? It's got to be mental.
I would think so, because they're a good shooting team. It's not like they're just a poor shooting team all around. It's only at the free throw line. Yeah, mental. Don't they have sports psychologists and, like, mental coaches and all that stuff?
J.J. McCarthy had his sports psychologist on the sideline in the Michigan game. In the national championship thing.
That's a little...
Kyle, we support mental health here.
This is nothing to do with mental health.
It is sports psychologist, mental health. That's the same thing. Sports psychologist, mental health. That's not all one and the same.
You're implying that he has a mental illness.
I'm saying he's...
Mentally weak is what you're saying.
Yeah.
To me, that's a sign of weakness. Get that out of here. I don't want that. He might have been... So Michigan was definitely the best team in the country this year, so I don't want to, you know, take anything away from Michigan. He was the most overrated player in the country. The fact that he was actually, at one point, a Heisman candidate is so frustrating to me. They played... Was it the Penn State game when he threw, like, three passes all game? And they
in the second half, didn't throw at all in the second half.
And they won? Like, you cannot be a Heisman candidate with those types of numbers. I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback, but get out of here with that. Like, you're mentally weak. I hate him. You just made me hate
him. He's got the twisties.
Yeah, he and Simone. Hey, it's Olympic year, by the way.
2024 Olympic year.
How fired up are you, dude?
France.
Yes. Paris?
Paris. Olympics?
Dude, let's France, go.
Who else is, I mean, what are we looking, I don't even know if our basketball team's going to be out there.
What do you mean, like
U.S.
Dream
basketball,
team?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That, no, you don't watch the Olympics.
What's your sport that you,
dude, track
give me
field.
A top, give me your top 3-5 Olympic sports that you're like.
Track and field, number one.
Track and field.
Not even close. Not even close.
Swimming?
Swimming now, dude, that gets
Katie Ledecky?
Oh, my God. Swimming with a glass of milk on her head. Like, oh, dude. So I can watch any.
Swimming is good.
Almost. Handball, dude? You ever watch handball?
I don't know if I have seen the handball.
Oh, my God. So good.
What's the one where they, in the ice, in the curling?
Oh, now you're throwing in winter sports.
Oh, that's a winter Olympics.
Yeah, that's winter.
Yeah.
Yeah, curling's winter.
Is golf going to be on the... In
golf
the...
will be in the Olympics. Yep. Yep. They'll do golf. I love the Olympics. It's so good.
Yeah, track and field will be good. That is always a fun one.
Yeah.
Those guys are... Yeah, I mean, they're freaks. The best.
Yeah. Yeah, quite literally.
Quite literally. All right, so they're not mentally weak. If you get to the Olympics...
Well, unless you're Simone Biles.
Gymnastics... It's fun in the Olympics.
I
will
say
that. I love
gymnastics, yeah.
Right? You will support USA in the
Olympics.
And
she's going back, right?
I think so.
Round three? So, you know what's going to happen, right? You know she's going to come and she's going to dominate and win all the golds. And she's going to be, like, the greatest American hero of all time.
I'm not getting into all of that right now.
I'm just calling it. I'm just telling you.
I'm so far, as a casual fan, I'm so far removed from...
We are going to be Olympic experts.
Is the U.S. women's soccer team going to play in the Olympics?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Can we win it? We should win it, right? We haven't won it.
No. Should we win it? No, probably not. I would say I don't think so. I like the turnover that we're seeing, though. It's like a new guard coming in. That'd be pretty sweet, though. Heck yeah. Let's go. Why not? Why not us? Why not now?
Yeah, I forgot about the Olympics.
Yeah. 2024. And it's a leap year. God, what a weird year.
President's Cup year, right?
President's Cup. I don't even know where they're in. Are they at Valhalla?
Who knows?
It's home. It might be Valhalla. I'll do a little research for us.
We can. All right, so we like Gator basketball. NFL playoffs. This weekend, Kyle starts the NFL playoffs, yes. Man. I must tell you, I don't know if you have HBO Max or whatever it's called these days.
I do. There's a Max Plus? Or
Miami Dolphins in-season Hard Knocks. You watched any of that?
Zero.
Oh, man. It is fantastic.
Really?
Mike McDaniel, Tua, you got Tyreek Hill. Dan Marino's in there.
What's Dan doing?
Dan. You haven't seen Dan in there? Oh, man. He's there in the post-game.
Is he all red-faced?
He's there on the post-games most of the time. Looks like he has a huge dip or chaw in.
Probably.
Most of it. You know, he was in the quarterback. I don't want to spoil too much of it, but he was in the quarterback's room for the Christmas episode.
Okay.
And they do their gift exchange. He gave everybody, all the quarterbacks, isotoner gloves.
What? Why?
I have no idea why. Probably because he's been sponsored by Isotoner Gloves since like 1992 or 3.
Oh my God.
Right? So he just has, I'm positive, a huge stash of them in his house. He's right. Like, here you guys go.
You got to get rid of them.
Whatever. Tyreek Hill gave the entire team motorized scooters.
What?
Yeah, the entire team.
That's pretty sweet. That's a big gift.
Couple hundred dollars for 53 people?
I mean, yeah, that was, I mean, those are my kids' Santa gifts, right? Like, that's like, it's like the gift.
Yeah, scooters are a big thing these days.
We got a scooter gang on our street, man. Yeah, I don't know what all the rage is about, but it's a thing.
Yeah, it's, well, I guess it's like,
for Tyreek.
It's
good enough for my
family. The new rollerblading, right? Back in the day, it was rollerblading.
You know what they say about rollerblades?
Oh, what?
You rollerblade, you don't get laid.
Yes, that's probably true.
I don't know. Tell you, I'm not a blader.
Myself. I'm not a blader anymore. I used to when I was younger. Like I'm talking.
Oh, the skating rink?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, yeah. Oh, blade up and down that place. I would burn people.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
but there's a time and a place for that. That's in the rink. That's where business is done.
Where I'm talking, I would talk the rink or a little street hockey outside. That's what I'm doing, right? Okay. With the rollerblades.
Yeah,
it's Florida. We can't have ice skating.
Yeah, we're not talking about like cruising the, you know, beltway on
I'm not
blades.
Talking fanny pack and rolling around and being like, hey, no. Little Jimmy. What's going on? Let's go there. Yes.
Yeah, that's so hardcore.
In my mind, I'm like, hey, maybe the scooter gang is the new, you know.
You think it's, I guess.
They're replacing that.
Yeah.
Except they're weak because they have mental health people.
Sports psychologists.
Sports psychologists.
Man, is that a little much? I don't know.
Every team has a sports psychologist.
No, I that's fine. But to have it on the sidelines for you during the game? What? Like, that's... that seems weird to me.
I'm so intrigued at your just opinion against it, but just so strong, how strong you are against it.
Well,
right?
Yeah.
Like, not even entertaining... The fact that it's somewhat okay.
No. That's like that'd be like if the team doctor's on the sideline, like
he always is there.
Well, yeah, but that's for like injuries and stuff. This would be like your pediatrician on the sideline, like my
tummy lollipop.
No, you just have butterflies in your tummy. It's not really upset. Like the sports psychologist, like I threw an interception. You're gonna be okay. Like. Think about, go to your happy place. Like, what does he say to him?
What about putting? Don't you need a sports psychologist when you're putting?
Do
like, if you were a golfer?
Have them on the course with them?
It's called a caddy.
No, that's different.
Caddies are the same thing.
No, that's totally different. That's like a teammate. And that's what your team is for. I don't know. I feel like we're going way overboard with all this stuff, man. All
right. We started with the NFL playoffs. Anyways, watch the Hard Knocks. It's pretty exciting. Miami Dolphins.
Okay.
There's some good stuff in there.
All right.
Regardless, who do we like in the NFL playoffs? Who do you want to win? I think you said maybe the Jets.
No.
Earlier in the year.
So my pick was the Bengals, which
Burrow, not going to happen.
They were playing well. They kind of had it figured out. Burrow's injury ruined it, so they're out. And I think I picked the Seahawks, if I'm not mistaken.
Oof.
And that came back
to me. I picked Jets Cowboys, so one of the teams has a chance, which I don't really like. I don't think they have a good chance, but
I'm super intrigued by the Cowboys Packers game this weekend.
Really?
It would not be shocking to me if the Packers came in and beat the Cowboys.
Absolutely.
I think so. Man, when the Cowboys lose, it's so good.
You know, I'm rooting for my previous Hard Knocks team that I watched was the Hard Knocks Detroit Lions.
Oh, I would love
Man, I love Dan that. Campbell. How great was he in that Dallas game? We just kept on going for it in two.
Yeah.
Right? He just said, line him up again. Line it up again. Yeah. Line it up again. That's the kind of guy you want to go to Vegas with.
That's, yes.
Right? That's the kind of guy that says, nope, we're hitting. You also don't want to play, though, in a blackjack table with him.
No,
when you get 18.
Not behind him.
When you're 18 and he's like, hit me.
Yeah.
Hit me. Like, man, you don't want to be right next to him. You know,
agreed.
In the cards. But if you want to watch him on a table, absolutely.
Yeah. No,
right?
For
like
sure.
I like the Lions. I hope the Lions go on a little bit of a run.
If we're wishing for things, the Lions-Texans in a Super Bowl it'd be so gross. It'd be awesome. At this point, it's hard. In the NFC, I cannot picture anybody else other than the 49ers. I do not think... And it's not that I think the 49ers are unbeatable. I don't think anybody in the NFC is really that good, quite honestly. Philly's having a down year. I definitely don't believe in the Cowboys. I love the Lions, but better than the 49ers? I don't know.
Browns, man. Cleveland.
Yeah.
Get them there. Joe Flacco.
They go to the Texans the first game.
Yeah.
That's the other game in the AFC side that is super intriguing. Like, I don't know what's going to happen that game. CJ Stroud has been awesome this year.
Yeah, I think Browns have had a really good defense all year.
Yeah.
And so that's where I'm leaning towards the Browns there. But they're all very intriguing games. Dolphins, Chiefs, I could see the Dolphins beating the Chiefs
because
they haven't really played that well. The Chiefs haven't.
Neither have the Dolphins.
Correct.
And yeah, I don't know. No way I'm going to pick against Mahomes in a home playoff game. Not a shot.
What about Eagles? I could actually see the Buccaneers being the Eagles in the first round.
I could too. Absolutely.
Do you know that Baker Mayfield, talk about contract incentives, he got $1 million for getting the Bucs into the playoffs.
See, dude, like, that is a true NIL deal. Like, incentive-based
That's
stuff.
That's pay-for-play, yeah.
That is awesome to me. That's what colleges need to do. No, that's good for Baker Mayfield. I'm not a big fan of his, but I'm happy. Like, he went through some junk, right? Like, he paid
He
his
went through
dues.
Cleveland, yeah. He went through Cleveland.
Correct. Nobody's successful in Cleveland. And then, you know, you go to Carolina.
LeBron was.
Who?
LeBron.
Yeah, well, I mean, potentially the greatest ever. I mean, I don't know. I'm happy for Baker, truthfully. I really am. It's good to see him be successful. I'm happy for the Bucks. But if I had to pick, I'm going to go 49ers. And, God, the Ravens are good. I don't want to go chalk, though. That's so boring. And Lamar has shown a tendency to kind of choke in the playoffs.
I would like to see Lamar win a Super Bowl. The Harbaugh year, the year of the Harbaugh?
That would be cool. I agree. I like the Ravens. I like John. I like Lamar. I don't know if I... Until he does it, it's hard to believe in him.
Yeah. Yeah, they've choked a lot.
I think it's going to be the Bills, dude.
All right.
I honestly do. Like, I truly believe that. Josh Allen just takes over games. You play in cold weather.
Their fans are just throwing each other off tables.
Insane, yeah.
Right? Like, they travel.
I would love to see the Bills. I take it back. I want to see the Bills in the Super Bowl.
Bills 49ers.
That'd be a good one.
Right?
That'd be a good one.
All right. We'll see what happens. Good song, Kyle. What a great intro there.
It is a great intro. Steve Miller Band, that's an underrated band.
Yeah. Not overrated.
Underrated.
Yeah. I don't know if they're...
I don't feel like they're ever on anybody's radar, but they've got a lot of really good hits. And they fly like an eagle.
Good point. Good points.
Juan, we kind of went off the rails last segment, so we'll shorten the lightning round. But
yep.
Let's start with, it's the first of the year, which yep. means, guess what's back?
Golf.
PGA Tour is back.
Yeah.
Right? In Hawaii. It's kind of a cool one to watch. I didn't watch much of it. Chris Kirk won. Good for him. He's got a cool story. I'm happy for him. In Hawaii again this week.
You did watch it, huh?
Not much. Not much. I typically watch more. I like it. I like watching the course. I think it's a cool course. Like visually, it's pretty fun to watch. But Max Homa hit like a 440-yard drive or something insane.
Love it.
Here's a question for you, though.
Yeah.
Somebody says, all right, Juan, you get to go to Hawaii for 2 weeks.
Yep.
All expenses paid for.
Love it.
Trip. 2 weeks to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Get to play a bunch of golf, hang out. Take the family, do your thing, or, well, you can't do both, or you get to go to Pebble and play in a tournament, but you can only go and play.
Ooh.
Which one would you do?
So, a family vacation, 2 weeks all paid to Hawaii, and I get to play golf.
Correct.
Right, or just me playing Pebble.
In a tournament, like, it's just, you're there for business, right? So Ooh. Family doesn't go, you're there, you could play 2 days at Pebble. You could play four if you make the cut. You got to get that ankle better.
Oh, man. Is it bad if I take Pebble?
No. No.
In a tournament play? Because you could always... You can always do Hawaii. You could always do
Pebble.
Not in a tournament setting.
That's correct.
Not with the bright lights on and see if, as a competitor, I want to see how I'm doing. Like, one's a competitive atmosphere, the other's not a competitive atmosphere.
How big does JK Sports Podcast have to get to where we can be considered for the Pro-Am out there?
True.
I mean, that's tournament setting, right?
Yeah.
February, right? It's a good time to get out there and play.
Yeah, I agree with that.
There's always time.
Which one would you do?
Ooh, I have been to Pebble. I've walked Pebble. I have not played Pebble. I think you can go out and play Pebble at any time. So it's certainly not cheap, but you can do it. So I'm going to take the 2 weeks to Hawaii.
Yeah, I mean, the family one is great.
2 weeks, dude? Let's go.
Yeah, I've never been to Hawaii.
Me neither.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, it's a my next question, or my only question, is a little bit of college football, but it's talking about Michigan. They won the national championship. Jim Harbaugh, right? He was suspended 6 games, and they still won the national championship, right?
Yep.
That's kind of crazy.
It is.
And a lot of rumors that now's the time he's going to go to the NFL. If you were Jim Harbaugh, would you stay at Michigan or would you go to the NFL?
Man, that's a great question. He's a legend there now. I mean, he's cemented his legacy. He's done so. No matter what he does, even if he stays and the organization crumbles, he's still a legend. If he leaves right now, he's still a legend. So if I'm Harbaugh, I think you capitalize on this opportunity. You're never going to be more valuable than you are at this exact moment in time. We talked about it earlier with the NIL and college football landscape changing. It made his life a living hell this year. I think you take the money and run. You roll. Take a job.
Roll Tide. He takes the Alabama job.
You know, well, man.
No, he's a Michigan man.
Yeah, that, I don't. He's another one. I don't think you take it there. If you're going to stay in college, stay at Michigan. Like, why would you leave? Yeah. I think it's either Michigan or the NFL, right?
Right. He's a Michigan man. That's pretty cool, right? He played at Michigan, and he brought a national championship back. If he leaves for the NFL, yes, they'll be upset, but this is the time to leave. You want him a title.
Yeah.
Right. Bonus question before we leave and wrap up. Because we didn't talk a little too much about this, but most disappointing NFL team this season, the Chargers or the Jaguars? And tell me why it's the Jaguars.
So it's not the Jaguars because that's so typical Jaguars.
So you
had one good season, you overachieved last year. Like that's exactly what the Jaguars, like everybody, that, like, it's the most stereotypical Jaguars thing ever. Everybody saw this coming except for Jaguars fans.
No, Kyle, they went – it did set up perfectly, though, right, where it was a Monday night. The Jags hadn't been a Monday night in over, God knows, 10 years, oh, maybe forever. 15 years.
That's right.
Right? Could have been 20. Who knows? Yeah. They might have played since 2000,
right,
or whatever. Hadn't been a Monday Night Football, and they – were one win away from being the number one seed in the AFC, projected to be the number one seed in the AFC, in the entire AFC, in the conference, over the Chiefs.
Right.
And in that game, they lost to a very bad team and lost their quarterback and went to their season as almost ruined.
Right.
To quarterback comeback, and then they lost, what, their last five games or something?
So on November 20th, hold on, I want to get this date correct here.
Yeah.
November 26th, the Jaguars had a 99% chance of making the playoffs. Statistically, they had a 1% chance of missing the playoffs.
Wow.
Guess what they did?
They missed the playoffs. That's disappointing. When you're 99%, that's the most Jag things ever.
Dude,
right, 99%.
It is, though. I mean, like, they get a sniff, just a whiff of success, and it's like they can't handle it. They don't know what to do with themselves, and it's so perfect. I'm not saying I wanted them to miss the playoffs. That's not what I'm getting at, but it is so perfect what happened to them. So the Chargers have what should be a top, like, three or four quarterback in the league. They've got a phenomenal defense. They've got players all over the freaking field. That's been a total letdown. Yeah. Like the Jags.
Let's just say, be on the record, you love a good Jaguars collapse.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Dude,
can we, like, just Phil, be honest?
Oh, it's like Phil collapsing on the golf course. Yes, of course I do. Absolutely.
You see the train coming and you want it. Like,
I'm all in, man. I'm cranking up the volume. I'm locked in.
You're rooting for their success. Talk about mental health, right? They need mental health coaches on the sidelines.
They need that sports psychologist on the sideline.
Their fans, right? 99%. Are you talking about fans who are beat down? Jaguars.
Yeah. But they do it to themselves. It's all self-inflicted.
So they need help. They need coaching.
That's mental health coaching to be a Jaguars fan. But that's cool. Get a sports psych. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm not saying seek the treatment. What I'm saying is don't have one on the sidelines. As you're watching the game, as you're melting down, as you're drinking your sorrows away, don't go talk to the sports psychologist because he's going to say, told you so. Like,
not a good psychologist wouldn't say. You would say that.
I'm a good psychologist.
That's terrible.
Oh man.
You don't tell
know.
People that.
I don't know. That's what they get for being Jags fans. Like, they know it. The season's over and they're like, yeah, no, we knew. It's like, well, then why'd you torture yourself for 18 weeks? You know? Man.
Okay, sorry. Just wanted to end a little bit on our good friends, the Jags, right?
Poor Jags. I mean, dude.
they were so close.
They were almost there. So close.
Maybe next. They fired their entire defensive staff, so there's a lot of changes coming up.
Yeah, they're going to need more than that, but that's a good start. At least they did. That's what the Gators need to do.
They were pretty close to firing.
Clean house. Yeah, they need to do more work.
All right, until next time, see y'all.